Welcome back to my channel. My name is Tatum Tamia. I'm the host of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast and the CEO of Anchor Media and Anchor Media Studios, which is where we're shooting from right now. In today's video, and this will actually probably be a two-parter, we're going to be talking about how to realistically become more like the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, I talk about this heavily in my book, She is Uncompromising. You can get it on my website, TatumTamia.com. Now, this is a section in my Bible. When I tell you, it should be holes in it by how much it's been scribbled, written, highlighted, underlined, starred, asterisk. Like, this is the most marked up section of my Bible, because every time I feel like I encounter a new life change, or, you know, life just begins to evolve, things may get busier, I go back to it like, okay, God, show me something else. Show me something else. And so for these next two videos, I want to point out just some things that stood out to me, some revelations that I got from it in order to help you become more like the Proverbs 31 woman as well. And I have my phone here because I'm going to read some of the exact scriptures that you can find in Proverbs 31. So the first element to being a Proverbs 31 woman is understanding that she is a true helpmate. It's to understand that she's trustworthy and she's a true helpmate. So in verses 11 through 12, it says, her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, when I got married, this is one of the times I'm in this book, like, okay, because I was very big on, poor BJ, just pray for him, y'all. When we were dating, I was very big on like, hey, you're not my husband, so we not finna act like it. So I'm not prioritizing you over my business. And before we got married, we were shacking. I'm not promoting it. I'm just telling you my truth. We were living together. And so I'm like, listen, just because we live together don't mean that you finna be acting like my husband, because you ain't. So certain things will come up. I'm like, you've reached capacity of boyfriend level. I'm not doing that. So when I got married, I'm like, dang, I've been talking trash for like the last year about how he done reached boyfriend level. He graduated. So God, what is life gonna look like now? Because I've really been running my mouth. And reading Proverbs 31, just talking about being a helpmate and being trustworthy, one of my big things was, before we got married, going to premarital counseling. And so he wasn't against it. It just wasn't that big of a deal to him. It wasn't like, for me, it was, I'm not marrying you until we go to premarital counseling. For him, it was just like, I mean, it's cool. So because it was such a big deal for me, we went. And that was a big part of learning how to be a helpmate, and not just a helpmate, but BJ's helpmate. And I think that that's where a lot of, I get annoyed by a lot of the relationship talk that I see on the internet, and I really don't partake in it too much. But a lot of it that I see on the internet is just a bunch of single people discussing what they may or may not do when they get married, or a bunch of married people discussing what they do in their household, which may not work for your household. And the most important thing when you're dating, especially if you're going to marry somebody, because who you marry will make or break your destiny. I feel like we prioritize the wedding so much. A marriage will make or break your destiny. It's such a serious decision that shouldn't be made on just emotion and how you feel or how fine he is. It should not. It is a spiritual and logical decision. You ain't gonna always have those butterflies. He ain't gonna be fine all the time. We ain't sitting on a toilet and all of that stuff that you see in the house. He ain't that fine no more right there. Like, it's just not it cannot be a vain decision. And so it was huge for me to learn how to be BJ's wife. And I don't think that people emphasize that enough, that I don't need to just learn how to be a wife. I need to learn how to be my husband's wife. Because I might be out here taking all the cooking classes. I hate cooking, but the internet says that I have to learn how to cook in order to be a wife. But your husband may like to eat out and don't care about that. He might be a chef himself and be like, girl, I don't care about you cooking. I want to do this for you. So now you're not stressed yourself out because of whatever the world is telling you to do, when your actual person that God created for you doesn't need that from you. And so for me, premarital counseling was huge, because I want to know you on a deeper level to learn, how can I make your life easier? How can I bring you good and not harm all the days of your life? And so one of the things that I do is I'm always praying. One thing I know about my husband is he's very laid back. he is a people pleaser in a sense. Like he's not going to let anybody take advantage of him, but he's very much so a giver. And it's his nature to always sacrifice himself for somebody else. Like it could be a blizzard. He could see that you're cold. He will give you his shirt, his coat, his socks, his shoes, and he will catch pneumonia just so that you can be warm. That's his personality. It's who he is. And so for me, it's my job as his wife to protect that. I'm the bulldog. You ain't giving him your shirt, because then what you gonna do? That's me. So I protect him in that way. But also, a flaw-ish of mine is I can be a spoiled princess. So my parents was like, BJ, we sorry. It's our fault. Why she be acting like this? But understanding that about myself, I can sometimes be one of the ones taking. Right? Letting him do whatever for me because that's his nature. Now, I'm going to get catered to, but at the same time, I have to make sure, how can I make your life easier? I know you do the dishes all the time because that's, you know, your thing. That's the chore that you took on in the house. But every now and then after I cook, let me just do the dishes too, to just do acts of service to make sure that your life is a bit easier. I see the things that you're communicating and you may not tell me, hey, can you pray for me for this? But let me just make sure in my prayer time, I cover this as well. I see you doing this and not complaining. So let me try to accommodate that for you. And that's something I do all the time, just paying attention and asking God and also paying attention to his uncommunicated desires so that I can be a good helpmeet. And that's one of my prayers all the time. God, it's not in BJ's character to be like, I need this from you. So how can I serve him today? It's hard to do when you're mad, but you know, it's something I try to do often. Like, how can I serve him? How can I be a better helpmate? Show me the flaws and the areas in myself. And God shows me those things. He'll tell me things to do. Hey, send him a really nice text today. And I'll do that. Hey, show him some extra affection today. I'll get in prayer or something like that. And I'll go sit on his lap, because I'm not naturally a super affectionate person. So just go and sit on his lap, do a bunch of extra little cute stuff. He likes that, right? It's small stuff, not huge, but just really being mindful and present in my home and attentive to the uncommunicated desires of my husband so that I could be a trustworthy helpmate. Having a relationship with God, covering him in prayer, so that I can be a good helpmate, hearing from God and being willing for God to show me myself, to correct me. One of the best pieces of advice that I got before I got married was, before you take your issues to your husband, pray about them first. And that's something I did even when we were dating. I'm like, what? Because again, my mouth, I'll say how I feel. But it's something I started doing where I was like, God, man, he may be mad because he did this or he did that. And God was like, but you did this, you did that. So why don't you start doing this? Don't say nothing about that. And it'll be things that I'll talk to God about, not say it to him, that he'll come and maybe apologize for, or that he'll be like, all right, hey, I noticed this. I'm going to start doing that. And I'm like, oh, this really worked. It was so many times I was like, oh, okay. That was some very wise advice. But again, I suggest all of you guys who are married or preparing to be married, take these last 9.5 minutes and apply that. Take whatever is relevant to you and apply it and utilize it for how you can be more like the Proverbs 31 woman in this way. Another characteristic of the Proverbs 31 woman comes in verse 20. It says, she extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. So this is all about just kindness and generosity and being a giver. So just always look for opportunities that you can give. I think at the root of this is really humility. How can you give? For me, I don't think that I'm naturally a huge giver. I don't go like tossing money around all the time, but I'm definitely always looking for opportunities to where I can help people, right? I help people in business, but also it may be something like the society where we do this every year. I don't really broadcast it, but around the holiday time, people are going through real stuff, especially the last few years. It can be as simple as facilitating an opportunity for people's needs to be met. Like, I don't have enough money to save the world, but I can facilitate an opportunity to help people get their needs met. So like, even in the society, when COVID first hit, it was a simple of, hey, is anybody in need this season with things shutting down? Hey, is anybody able to contribute to help our sisters in this community to be able to meet their needs this season? Man, we was having people's mortgages were getting paid, bills were getting paid, groceries were getting purchased. It were so many things. And I gave money, but I couldn't have done that myself. Like, I couldn't have met all of those needs myself. So it's bigger than just, you know, it can be bigger, in my opinion, embodying this than just what you can give. But how many opportunities can you cultivate for people's needs to be met? We do this even in the holidays with the society. The last couple of years, I think we've raised a couple thousand dollars. Well, this year, I think it was like $1,300 or something. Last year, it was like $1,600. But just able to put some money in people's pockets, help them with what they have going on in the holiday season. It's just an opportunity to give. The Bible says, give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And so we should be women who care, who give, who cultivate opportunities to help people, who are kind. In this day and age, kindness is so easy to do, but it's so hard to find. I remember I was working with a videographer and she was going through some things personally. And she had missed a couple deadlines about when it came to like the video and stuff like that. And I was really kind of like, hey, it's okay. I understand you have a lot going on. Just let me know when you're able to get it to me. I don't think I did anything extra besides just be kind and understanding and give grace. And I remember she had hit me up maybe like a month or so after that. And she asked, because she dropped something off. She had something for me because she dropped it off at the office. I was like, yes. I told her when I was there. She came and met me. She gave me this card and it made me tear up. She said, hey, one of my parents passed away. And it was a really tough time, but I'm so grateful for you just giving me grace and for your kindness. And I was like, dang, like, I wasn't even thinking of it as like, well, let me be nice because I'm going to get something from it or anything like that. But just giving people grace and kindness is so, so, so important because you never know what people are going through these days. And I know people have extended me grace and kindness when I've been going through things as well. So it's important that we just keep that in mind, not be so critical. I mean, in this social media age, you get all of these negative comments and everybody got something to say. Everybody an expert on everything. Everybody criticizing everything. We should just be kind and keep that in mind and be givers.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times, and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And the last characteristic of a Proverbs 31 woman, of course, is that she's a God-fearing woman. So verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. I get questions all the time about people who, you know, hear the message of make God the CEO, seek God on behalf of your business, all of these things about, well, how do I do this God's way? How do I do my business God's way? All of these things. You have to know God to know how to do things His way. We can't put the cart before the horse. You have to have a relationship with God. You need to know the word so that you can live the word out. You need to know how to hear from God. I always say, don't start no business. Don't be trying to do without being first a God-fearing person, someone whose life is subject to Him. And I feel like these days, especially with like online entrepreneurship and everybody trying to achieve something, we lose the fact that we are His servants, not the other way around. If God never gave you any of the things that you've put on your vision board this year, if He chose not to, would you still serve Him? If your business never became successful, would you still serve Him? These are tough questions that you have to ask yourself. And if the answer is no, be honest. I'm not going to judge you. Be honest. If the answer is no, then you got to go back to the foundation. Having a relationship with Him again by learning your word, not secondhand faith, not you only hear the word from the perspective of the preacher or the teacher or pastor that's communicating it to you, but you understanding the text for yourself, the context, the intent behind it, the times that it was in, the message, how it's relevant to you today, all of these different things, how you can live it out, a true understanding of the word so that you can live it out in your life. That's what you need. You have to be a God-fearing woman. You have to be someone who spends more time on her face, spends more time in the presence of God than you do in all of the hats that you wear. You have to be able to operate based on His principles. And I feel like that gets so lost these days, especially in a lot of the teachings and the things of that nature, is we stick with the cute stuff, the fun stuff, the exciting scriptures that He'll supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He'll do exceedingly and abundantly above anything I could ask for or think. I am the lender and not the borrower. I'm ahead and not beneath. Like all of these things that are facts is scripture. But also, if you're knee deep in debt, are you going to still serve God? When your life doesn't look like what the promise is, would you still serve Him or are you going to give up? One of the things that I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday, and she was just talking about this hard area that she's really believing in God for, and she's not seeing the fruit of her prayers yet. She was saying like she really found herself like not even talking to God about it because she felt like it'll impact her faith if she focuses too much on her disappointment in this particular area. And I was telling her, I'm like, I was validating her feelings because I get it. You know, it was, I remember even when I was trying to have my son and I talk in my book about my history of miscarriages and struggles to conceive and carry to term. And I was telling her when we were talking about this man in that season, one of the hardest things, and I had to be honest with God, one of my foundations of me and God's relationship is honesty and vulnerability. I say, God, it is very hard to know that you're a miracle worker, to know that you can solve this problem for me instantaneously and you haven't. That hurts my feelings. That makes me actually pretty upset. because I'm telling everybody else and I'm reading this word. I know this word. It's in my heart. I know the magnitude of who you are, but you're choosing not to take this burden from me. Why not? And that's real. That's a real emotion that we all are going to face, knowing that God is all powerful and yet he chooses not to solve whatever this hard place is and whatever, you know, because it may be a not yet thing, but still, like, it's tough. That is tough. But even in that place, will you still serve God? My husband was watching The Chosen recently. I haven't sat down to watch too much of it. Usually when I watch TV, it's like at the end of the day. I don't like to watch stuff deep. Just let me watch something that's light or whatever. And that's a show that I know I really want to pay attention to and compare it to the scripture. And I just haven't had time to really do it. But he watches it pretty often. And so it was one part I just happened to come into the room where it was on, when it was on. And one of the disciples, Jesus had just met with all the disciples and let them know, like, hey, y'all my people. And y'all finna go out and tell the world about me, right? And so this particular disciple, I can't remember which one it was. He was sick or had some type of ailment. And he went up to Jesus. They had already left. Everybody was out. Jesus was going wherever he was going. So he walked up to him and was like, can I ask you something? And Jesus was like, of course. And he was like, so you trust me to go out and tell people about, like, how you're such a healer and tell people about the greatness of who you are, but I have this issue and you haven't healed it yet. Like, I'm not healed. I'm gonna go out and tell everybody about the miracles that you perform, but I need one and you ain't done it. And Jesus, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he essentially told him, I could heal you right now. I'm not for a reason, essentially. Like, how much more powerful will your message be if you can go out and tell these people about the magnitude of who I am, even if you're still waiting for this particular promise? And the disciple started crying and he just accepted it. And in my mind, I'm like, he probably was still kind of like, I mean, but like, is that really necessary? Because that would have been my response. And I think that God knew I need to be born within a certain time period. Because I've been reading the Bible sometimes, especially reading the New Testament and the stuff Jesus was saying. And I'd be like, so why do you even have to go through all that? Were half of these parables necessary? We could have just went straight to the point, right? Like, I'm like, Jesus, what you saying? So, but I could tell in that moment that he was probably still like, I mean, that sounds profound and great, but also this hip, you know, because that's what I would have been like. I mean, cool, but like, I'm out here telling them, but I'm limping. I got a cane. Like, come on, God. Okay. Like, I would have been a little irritated by it. I'm not even gonna lie. But the point is that there's a reason. There's a method. God, we play the short game. God plays the long game, the eternal game. And we have to, when you're truly somebody who, you're truly a God-fearing woman, you have to honor God and follow him when you don't understand what's going on. You have to follow him and push through those real emotions of, God, you're a healer, but you ain't healed me. You got to persevere through that. Long suffering is a fruit of the spirit for a reason, right? We're all going to have to suffer through something, but we have to be patient in affliction. But we have to take Romans 12:12 into consideration. I'm going to read it. It says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful and prayer. This is something that I hold close to me whenever I'm really waiting for the fruit of something I'm believing in God for and I'm getting frustrated by it. I go back, Tatum, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer, and continue to go out and serve the Lord despite how you feel or your circumstances. Like, that's just a posture, a reverence, a love, and a commitment that we have to have as God-fearing women. That's not contingent upon what we see or whether we see the fruit of anything. Why does God have to do anything else for us? He already sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He already made it so today we don't have to go to the temple to be able to spend time with him. We don't have to sacrifice rams and goats and all of that in order to be forgiven for our sins. We don't have to go to a third party. Jesus ascended to heaven and sent us the Holy Spirit. So we have so many luxuries that we take for granted. Why does God have to do anything else for us in order for us to love, reverence, and respect him? And I feel like if you're in a place where you're not truly God-fearing, or you're not loving God to that level and to, or have that level of commitment, then you have to deal with that before we can go out and do all of these great, magnificent, Instagram-worthy things. So the Proverbs 31 woman in her core was a God-fearing woman. And we have to be God-fearing women, women who are committed to the Lord. And make sure you get my new book, She's Uncompromising, A Christian Woman's Guide to Mastering Motherhood, Business, and Everything in Between. Available now on my website at TatumTamia.com. Make sure you like, subscribe, hit that notification bell so that you don't miss when I post another video. And I'll see you in the next one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.